When the whole family comes together to watch the game, nobody wants to miss a second of the action to run to the grocery store. With Instacart, you can get all your weekly groceries in as fast as an hour. Less time shopping means more game time. Let's go. Visit instacart.com to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile's network can help keep you connected to all your favorite podcasts when you're out and about. Whether you're an early bird looking to dive into a daily news podcast or a night owl who wants to catch up on the latest reality TV drama, T-Mobile will keep you connected on their strong and reliable network. T-Mobile covers more highway miles with 5G than anyone. So if you need great coverage, especially when you're on the go, check out T-Mobile. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/CY. That's SEEWHY.
Into our lives, we are pleased to welcome our friend Michael Duarte from NBC LA, who was in the arena just a few hours ago. I'm assuming you're not still in the arena, Mike.
Nope, not anymore. I'm back home.
Well, so what was the atmosphere like as the Lakers are building this 15-point lead? Was there hope there?
Yeah, there was a lot of hope to start the game this series, to start the game tonight in game four, Amy. LeBron James, first and foremost, is the head of the snake, and that's where it starts. He came out with a historic performance in the first half, scoring 31 points. That's a playoff career high for LeBron James in year 20 at age 38. We thought we'd seen everything. And I know I've been hearing you. I've been listening to you on my way home. And then, you know, as I was getting comfortable back in my place after that just intense, highly focused game, hearing you talk about the tired legs. And yes, you're right. He played 48 minutes. He's been battling injuries, an older guy. I have the same aches and pains that LeBron does at this point. We're about the same age. So I feel it. But you have to give the Denver Nuggets defense credit. They made a huge adjustment in the second half. They triple-teamed LeBron every time he got in the paint. They were not going to let LeBron beat them at the rim. And that's what I saw in the second half, is that 15-point lead you just mentioned evaporated faster than my paycheck. And suddenly you have just Denver trapping and containing LeBron in the paint, and he was trying to defer to his teammates. And I kept saying this on Twitter all night, you need somebody else on the Lakers to step up. It didn't really look like Anthony Davis did it till late in the fourth quarter, and by then it might have been a little bit too late. And then again, I was a little frustrated with Darvin Ham to kind of complain about the refs on that last play in his post-game press conference. You didn't see LeBron do that. I've seen I saw it live, and I've seen the play now and replay many times. I just thought that was a great defensive effort by both Jamal Murray and Aaron Gordon, and it was the time left on the clock, because I think if there was 2 seconds left, we might see LeBron gather that ball and somehow get it back up and in, but that's how it ended.
As you point out, the Lakers, and specifically LeBron, able to attack the paint early. They ended up with 62 points in the paint, which is more than half of their output. But the tired legs, then not having the outside shots that went down to kind of open things up. And so the Nuggets, even on that last play, which is indicative, they're double-teaming LeBron so that he doesn't get a clean look. As you think about the four games in this series, and only one of them separated by double figures in the end, what was the factor, what was the advantage of the Nuggets that put them over the top, or that separated them from the Lakers ultimately?
Yeah, great question. You know, the Lakers must have TSA pre, because they got out of those Western Conference Finals in four games quick.
Listen to you with the quips.
I pride myself on it, Amy, but you know, and I'll have a couple more for you here, but you know, a couple things to your point. First and foremost, as you mentioned, I believe three of the four games with less than a minute remaining were down to one possession. And late in the fourth quarter of game three, which was the one game, you know, that was a little jointed there. Game two was the double digit one you talked about. But late in those games, they were still one possession games. They were close games. So that brings up your question, which is that razor thin margin for error. And where was the difference? One thing you have to look at is, these Denver Nuggets, they've been together for a while. You know, Nikola Jokic, one of the reasons why LeBron, after he made his retirement rumors and hints, you know, his post-game press conference that I didn't run out with my colleagues to follow up on that, was I wanted to go hear Nikola Jokic speak. So I went over to hear him, and he was talking about the fact that, you know, he was drafted by the Nuggets. Jamal Murray was drafted by the Nuggets 7 years ago. These guys came up together. They've added some pieces here recently in Aaron Gordon and KCP and Bruce. And this team, though, now finally having the depth that it has, filling up the holes that they've got, they've played together for a while, whereas this Lakers roster is a newborn baby. It's only been around for 3 months. They've been figuring it out on the fly. LeBron only came back for the last two, three, four games of the regular season before this playoff push and run. So when it comes down to closing games late, the Nuggets have the experience. They have the superstars in Jokic and Murray to do it. Whereas, like you mentioned, the Lakers don't really know where to go. They have to rely entirely on LeBron James. And he was gassed, and it was just empty in his tank late in all four of those games. And so to put a little punctuation mark on this, to me, Darvin Ham's decision to go small with the starting lineup in game one and keep D'Angelo Russell, who was getting torn apart by Jamal Murray like he was string cheese, first three games of the series, a minus 53 when he was on the court. Oh. To me, that's the big difference, because if Darvin Ham makes that adjustment earlier, going to the bigger lineup to match Denver, I think the Lakers would have won a couple games in the series and we would still be having a series moving forward.
Yeah, his shooting was abysmal. And some of that probably has to do with the fact that he was chasing Jamal Murray for a good portion of the series. Michael Duarte of NBC LA, fresh off this game four between the Nuggets and the Lakers as Denver reaches its first NBA Finals in franchise history. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. I made this point going back to, I think it was game two, that the Denver Nuggets are done getting pushed around. They have been one of those bad jokes. Not yours, of course, Michael. You don't make bad jokes. They have been one of these bad jokes in the NBA for a long time. And it's so fitting that Carmelo Anthony retires, right, on this Monday, because he was a Denver Nugget initially. But they put a lot of effort into it, never quite captured the formula, even going back to 2020, which we know still motivates them. They'd been an also-ran for such a long time. So they're done getting pushed around. We even saw them, well, Aaron Gordon, he never will back down from a fight, but the extracurricular activity, the jawing, the talking smack, the pushing back with LeBron. How did you see them toughen up in this series? How did you see them play mentally and physically tough in this series?
Yeah, that's a great question, Amy, and I'm glad I'm talking to you, my favorite host, because I've been going through a flurry of radio hits this last month, and we're putting the punctuation on the Lakers season tonight and turning out the lights. But, you know, as great of a roller coaster story that this Lakers season was, as we talked about starting 2-10 and then all the trades they made at the deadline, a whole new roster, and then getting all the way to Western Conference Finals, upsetting a lot of higher seeds along the way, the better story here is the Denver Nuggets. And as I mentioned, a team that built themselves through the draft, that did it the right way, that is in a small market, that climbed the mountain so many times, including in those Carmelo Anthony days when he used to battle Kobe Bryant in the Western Conference Finals, to finally, and I wrote this in my story after the game, to finally slay Goliath tonight. You know, the Lakers and Nuggets have met in the playoffs this was the eighth series, so seven times prior to the series.
Wow.
They lost all seven times, The Lakers, they had never beaten the Lakers in a playoff series, and not only do they beat them now, they sweep them, and they do it to get to their first NBA Finals in their franchise's history, trying to take themselves off that list of just 11 NBA teams who have never won the title. Hopefully,
right.
I'm rooting for them. I know they might play the Heat, but I'm rooting for them because they've done it the right way, and they're a great story. And so I think we should be talking more about them and how they did it. And to your point, going out and getting a guy like KCP, who is so crucial to the Lakers championship run, the bubble in 2020, going out and getting a Bruce Brown, who you talk about physical and abuser, a guy like that, he was so integral to this team too. And then having veterans like Jeff Green that can come off the bench, and even guys like DeAndre Jordan and Reggie Jackson and Thomas Bryant, who didn't really play in this series. Those guys are veterans who've never won a ring, and they're going to be fighting for that too. So my cap is off to them and tip them. And the last thing I would just say is LeBron James and Anthony Davis said that this was the best team they've played in the 4 years they've been together.
Mm.
And that includes, you know, the Heat in the finals, the Suns that beat them in the playoff series a few years ago. This was the best team, they said, the most complete team they've ever seen in the playoffs. So that's a big compliment to the Nuggets.
Michael, watching the NBA as closely as you do, who did you think deserved to win the MVP award?
I thought it was Nikola Jokic. I read an article during that time where they took the names out of it, and they just said, here's the stats. Tell me who should win the MVP. And if you look at just the stats without the names attached, Nikola Jokic had the stats. In my opinion, if you were blind just picking based off of that, how many games he played, consistency, almost averaging a triple-double throughout the season, the amount of wins he earned his team, to me, he was the MVP. Now, with that said, I have no problem with Joel Embiid getting it. What he did for the Sixers was remarkable. He's been so close so many times before. I like parity. I don't just like it if one guy dominates, you know, so long like the Bill Russell era is and Kareem winning five. So I like that there was some parity here, and I like what you said, Amy. If Nikola Jokic had gotten the MVP, but you were telling him he wouldn't be able to play in the NBA Finals, he'd give all three of those MVPs back
yes.
to be able to have a chance to win one Larry O.B. trophy. So I agreed with the decision that it was Embiid, but if you just looked at the stats alone, I thought Jokic had the better numbers.
LeBron James, certainly an MVP in many ways, set the all-time scoring record this year. We know he's talked in the past about wanting to play with his son when he gets to the league, but specifically following this game and this sweep, no doubt he's exhausted. What did you make of his comments about his future?
Yeah, and I like what you said about the Tom Brady and not making an emotional decision, because I agreed with you that fresh off of this day, and I want to talk about what you talked about earlier, and that's Carmelo Anthony's retirement. LeBron knew it was coming, but I think he probably didn't see that video. And I don't know if you've seen the video that Carmelo released on Twitter earlier today to announce his retirement. But the end of that video where it turns from him to his son and how he's now living on through his son, I think that really resonated with LeBron James. I think hearing Carmelo, one of his best friends in the world, part of that draft class, like we said, with him and Dwayne Wade, and now those guys are both gone from the league. Seeing that and knowing that maybe it is time for his son, and seeing that he just lost and it's fresh in his mind, I didn't just see his final comments as he walked off the podium as him hinting at retirement. Throughout his post-game press conference, when any of us in the media, and I was standing right there, were asking about next season or his future, assuming he was coming back, LeBron would like bite his lip, be silent, hold, have like a weird look on his face. I was like, what's going on with him? I picked it up right away that whenever he was talking about his future, he was weird. So I think if you were to ask him to make a decision right now after this game, he'd probably choose retirement. I also know LeBron James is a guy that likes attention. And so having the narrative for the next few days be about this, I'm sure he's not going to mind being in the headlines. And I do think, Amy, ultimately, he's under contract with the Lakers next season. If the Lakers can improve the roster, I think D'Angelo Russell, you know, he was a guy 2 weeks ago that Lakers would have loved to have brought back. I don't think you can bring him back now after watching what happened to him in this series. I think if there's any way to go get a guy like Kyrie Irving, you know, Chris Paul might be available. That's a veteran point guard.
Gosh.
They need a point guard, especially on this team, to lighten the load off of LeBron James. Fred VanVleet might be available as well. If you can bring in one of those guys and try to keep some of this depth and bring some good pieces in for LeBron, the fact that his son Bronny is going to be playing at USC, he's going to be able to watch all those games. Bryce is at a high school now, closer in Studio City. I think the allure to still play in L.A., wait for his son, and be able to watch both his sons play by still playing in L.A. this year, if he has the roster around him, I think that allure is going to be too great, and I think he ends up playing because I don't think he wants his legacy to end like this.
How would you evaluate the first season of Darvin Ham as the head coach of the Lakers?
Oh, that's a great question. It's hard for me to answer that now because I felt like he got outcoached by Mike Malone in this series. Amy, I just thought he was too late to make adjustments. I don't want to bring up the Frank Vogel years, but Frank Vogel, in my opinion, was a defensive genius. And if you go back to that bubble run, he changed the starting lineup for each one of those series. He didn't wait until game four. Going into the series, he knew, I need bigs up against Nikola Jokic. So he started Dwight Howard alongside Anthony Davis, even though the series before against the Rockets, he went totally small. So he's willing to do the matchups and play the matchups given him series by series, not just keep the same guys on the floor or keep guys that have been starting all year there just to kind of stroke their egos. He was able to make the adjustments that would ultimately win this series. I think Darvin Ham, all playoffs long, was too late in doing that. And so yeah, I know it's his first year, and I hope he really learns from it and learns that you just got to do what it takes to win and get an advance. Rather than play the feelings game with some of these guys. But overall, from where they started to where they finished in a first year with a, trying to build a new culture, new coaching staff, new offense running through Anthony Davis, having a completely different roster change, six players in, six players out, the trade deadline. You have to give Darvin Ham credit for guiding the ship the entire time, because a lot of guys would have just jumped off and said, I quit and I'm out. And so I do give him respect for staying on the ship. But I do think had he made some more adjustments in this series, this could have been a 6-7 game series.
Okay, so Michael Duarte with us from Los Angeles. Before I let you go, you know we always get off the beaten path with Mike. What the heck has gotten into the Dodgers now?
Oh, my gosh, yes. Injuries plaguing the Dodgers, which we haven't seen for a while. And unfortunately, whether it's on purpose or not, this roster was built to not be as talented and as good as it was last year, which won a NL record 111 games. So right now they're really going through it. You know, Clayton Kershaw just recently lost his mother. Julio Urías goes to the IL. Dustin May goes. This was the problem I feared, and I think we've talked about it on this show. The depth of the Dodgers starting rotation and having to rely too much on the bullpen. I know they're on this torrid stretch. I know they just beat the Braves, so I believe they have the best record in the National League again. I still think they're a playoff team, but this roster is not as talented, not as deep as years past. So I want to see how they handle this next month or so and if they can kind of still stay ahead and keep pace, because they could fall pretty quickly with the starting rotation they have now if these guys are injured for too long.
Not only do they have the best record in the National League, they have the best home record in the National League, which is saying something too. All right, Michael, before I let you go, because it's been a long day, and as you say, you are in such high demand right now. You're so popular. But does it make you feel good about our friendship and our relationship that I went to Sedona just because of you? I went to Sedona and took a bazillion pictures of the Red Rocks just because of you.
And did you love it?
I loved it. It's breathtaking. From the time that you're still 6 or 7 miles out of the town, all the way through the town, all the different rock formations. My friends and I, we stopped at various places and took photos of the rock formations. We took selfies with the Red Rocks. It was pretty incredible. But I just want you to know, I never would have done it if not for you.
See, I don't want the praise like you just did it for me. I just want my friends to experience just these amazing things and amazing places. And I'm also glad you ran that half marathon. So like I said, you're building up for the marathon. I want you to experience that too.
Oh, gosh.
Because there's no greater feeling than finishing a marathon.
I really do want to impress you, but I might die, Mike. So I don't know if that's in the future. You don't want me to die, do you?
No, I don't think you will. I don't think you will. Trust me. If you can do the half, you can double it up.
Okay, I'll consider it. I'll consider it. You can find Michael Duarte on Twitter at Michael J. Duarte. He is not only an award-winning journalist, but he's our L.A. guy. For NBC L.A., covers Lakers now, but also football, baseball, hockey, everything else going on. And he's one of our faves. We appreciate your time. I hope now you get a chance to sleep. But you seem kind of wired, though, man.
Yeah, after that game a little bit, but yeah, finally we can somebody call Fred again, because we're turning out the lights on basketball, and we'll focus now to the other sports starting tomorrow.
All right, well then we will talk to you again soon. Thanks, Michael.
Thanks, Amy. Have a good show.
Hammock. Check. Arnold Palmer. Check. Motorized solar shades. Yes, please. Get your home and patio spring ready with brand new custom window coverings from Blinds.com. Blinds.com is the easiest way to upgrade your home with custom window treatments. You can even stay in the hammock while Blinds.com handles the install. Just click installation at checkout and relax while we do the work for you. No matter how many window treatments you order, installation is always one low cost. Need help choosing? Talk to a Blinds.com design expert for free to help you make the best selection from classic shutters to outdoor roller shades and more. With over 25 million windows covered, you can rest easy with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. See why Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings with over 40,000 five-star reviews. Shop Blinds.com and save 40% off selected products. 40% off selected products at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The Health One healthcare system is proud to have been named one of the top places to work for women in the nation by Newsweek. Health One is the only healthcare provider in Colorado and one of only 6 organizations in the state to be recognized with this award. Thank you to all our colleagues, physicians, and volunteers for making Health One a great place to give and receive care. Learn more about our services, physicians, and locations by visiting healthonecares.com. That's healthonecares.com.
Attention listeners.
I'm pleased to announce that Radio Rental is returning for another installment of Terrifying Tales. If you happen to be new here, I'm Terry Carnation, current proprietor of the Radio Rental Video Store, where I possess a collection of the scariest true stories you've ever heard, all told by real people. Mark your calendars for... Oh, apparently it's available right now. I'm a little late with this promo.
Listen for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Surgeons keep our hearts beating. They do the amazing, help save lives, and so can you. Your CSL plasma donation can help create 24 critical life-saving medicines that can give grandpa the chance for his heart to swell when he meets his new grandson, or give a bride the chance for her heart to skip a beat on her wedding day. Every plasma donation helps more than you know. Do the amazing. Help save lives. Donate today at your local CSL Plasma Center and be rewarded for your generosity.